listening habits. I thought to myself when I was going over the lesson, did he get the papers all for me? What is one of the first things you begin to reprimanding your children fairly young when they get in elementary school? What are these things? What is it we usually tell them? Thank you so much. Well, what we usually say to them, are you listening to me? Stop and listen. And many times there's, people say it, my children just don't listen to me. Particularly when they get in their teens, you say, they just don't listen to me. Well, maybe one of the problems is that we have not taught them how to listen. Maybe you and I have bad listening habits. That's what we're going to think about today. You see, listening is easy to fake. Now, when you're speaking, you've got to use your mouth. You've got to use your words. But listening is easy to fake. Let me tell you a secret about your doctors today. Now, my doctor told me this, and I notice it with most of my doctors that I go to. He said, Ms. Schwartz, this new process they have, doctors have to be on the computer the whole time they're with you. Has anybody noticed it? And he said, we have to ask a lot of questions that just general health questions. Do you have that kind of thing? And he said, so the people are trying to tell me what is wrong. And he said, I don't have time to listen. He said, many times I'm just saying, He said, but I really, this has been becoming very hard on some doctors, particularly those who really, really love their patients and care about them. And he said, he told me, I used to talk, you know how I used to talk to your dad. And he did. He used to spend a little time talking with my father. He said, no more. We can't do it anymore. They have a limit of minutes that they can see you, 15. They have to follow all of these things on the computer. And they have to put checks and minuses or whatever it is all the way down. So while you're talking to them, he said, many times, I'm really not listening that closely. So we can fake listening. Activeness is simply to pretend. You know, when you can just look like you're active, but you're really not hearing all of it. But real listening requires effort. Now, I have found that out because just like many, I had very poor listening habits. I could talk and talk and talk, but when it come to listening, I had some real problems that the Lord has had to help me with. But as I look over and think about it, I believe a lot of us have some bad listening qualities, habits. So let's go on and see. One of the things that will help you to become a better listener is if we listen to God. Now, he doesn't spout off like we do. He's not constantly, as far as verbally or within our heart, he has in his word. But if we learn to listen to God, we might be surprised how much we begin to listen to man. Listening to God requires a belief that God loves me and he desires to communicate with me. And that becomes part of the thing that he really cares. He really listens to me. He really loves me. And that becomes, when we really grasp internalizing that fact, that God really loves me. You know, it's a very glib thing. That's why I say communication is very glib. You can say, oh, I know God loves me. But down deep in the inner soul, many people wonder if God loves me. Many people wonder if I'm really connected with God. So actually, when we internalize in us and we realize God loves me, this is not so easy to be able to take into the heart. But oh, when we do, when we begin to understand he loves me. But Sister Schwartz, you don't know me. I don't care. I don't have to know you. I probably wouldn't like you. But God loves you. You see, this is the thing that we have to understand. And so when we realize that he loves us, then there may come a deeper desire to be closer and listen to him. We listen to him, and listening to him isn't like listening on the phone, isn't like listening to the person next to you. Much of what he has to say is written. And so when he said, if we will read and meditate and think on these things, do you see what that the effort that that takes? That takes true effort to be able to allow to be able to meditate and think on these things. It's not just, you know, that's why we don't get a whole lot many times out of reading God's word, because we've never learned how to meditate on it. We've never learned how to, well, what does he mean here? You know, I believe in my heart, but that's not gospel. I have no proof for it. But I believe in my heart, one verse read well, understood, and believed is more than 10 chapters that you just read over. So we have to, when we begin to come, when we give him our undivided attention, it means that when we get alone with him, we give him our undivided attention. Now, this was where the devil will fight you. You know, there was a period of my life when we were having revivals, and I was in my teens then, I think. I might have been in my early 20s, but I don't think so. And we were having revival, and they said, would any of you pray for an hour a day? And so I loved the Lord. I was very, you know, gung-ho. I said, I'll pray. But when I started to pray for an hour a day, it became something a little different. The devil was really trying to sleep. I get so sleepy. And then I would say what I had to say, and it wasn't very much. And I'm still thinking, what? But you know, as I pursued that, I began to see longer and longer I could stay with the Lord. So when we get to this place of trusting and loving him, and desiring his word and reading his word, and we give him our undivided attention as we pray, we listen to God as opening our heart and letting God point his finger of truth on me. We're very busy people, and a lot of times we can't stop for even those things that are important. And many times when we do read our Bible and we do pray, we never take time to stop and listen and get quiet before the Lord. You'd be surprised the things that God begins to lay in your heart, the truths that he begins to show us. Listening to God, some of you have come in. I have some papers here. Forgive me. When we listen to God, we learn how to listen more carefully to others, realizing that maybe God is using me as I communicate with you, and he wants me to be used. Listening to God is recognizing the presence of the Holy Spirit within me and responding to his guidance for communication with others. There are times that I felt very led to talk with someone. Maybe another time I didn't. But God can put within our heart. You say, how do you know? I have a feeling that the way he made us individually, that we just can't say, this is the way it feels. He made us individually. And he knows how to come through to each of us individually. He doesn't worship. We worship him corporately like we did this morning. But we really worship him. And he knows us, and he deals with us and speaks to us just what we need in the way we need it. So don't try to feel like, I want that experience. I want to feel this way. This has hindered people in their spiritual life. I want to feel like I want to feel like so-and-so did. No, no, no. You're not so-and-so. You don't have the same tendencies. You don't have the same makeup. You don't have the same whatever else. We're not the same. Spiritually, we're not. In the sense, we're open, but our whole life has baggage and things that has to be gotten out. So we all are very different. And God may speak to you differently than he does to me. So don't rely on that. But now let's get to, we're talking there about how to listen to God. And what we're saying is that maybe if you learn how to listen to God, then maybe you'll be able to listen to other people. As I was saying before most of you came in, one of the things that we really tell our children is, listen to me. Did you hear me? I want you to listen. And you'll be at the table telling them something, and you know that their mind isn't there, that they're not listening to you. They have a wonderful way. I'll tell you, Mrs. Shee's little grandchild, we watch him a lot on FaceTime. And that little guy knows how to turn his mother off already, and he's 15 months old. So when it comes to listening, we want to learn some things that can help us, okay? Let's look at the first one we have here. My little iPad here wants to. First, listening, we focus attention. Now, sometimes when people talk to us, we're very busy. And we would almost wish to say, get out of here, I'm busy. Particularly mothers sometimes with little children. They, you know, and this is a time that our children, when they're young, they need to be listened to. Don't interrupt. Your attention now is on the other person. Here we are having a conversation. And we just want to interrupt. Oh, but I know, we interrupt them before they have what they've said. This shows that we are not attentive. Because while they're talking, when they introduce the subject, we already had something to say about the subject. So when we interrupt, they know then that we're not really attentive. Don't let emotion of anger override your thinking. You see, many times when couples or even at the office, when something has happened and somebody is trying to tell us something, and inside we are so angry and we're just boiling that we don't even want to hear what they have to say. But this may be, that may be the problem. What they have to say might settle the problem, but we allow anger. Now this one is one that a counselor has to watch very carefully. And I know myself, I've had to watch it very carefully too. As soon as they start talking to me, and they'll give me some of what they're trying to say, and immediately there comes a response to me, oh, this is da-da-da-da-da, you know? And sometimes, if I'm not careful, I can't hardly wait till they're finished so I can tell them what I think. It's very easy to just cut them off, cut people off. When they're saying, you know, when they're saying something and in our mind we're thinking of the answer for this. So we've lost the last half of it. And we're only there to let them know what that response in our mind was. Don't be quick to answer. And this is another thing we have to watch with. I've had to watch with it. I am a very quick person. You say something to me and I can usually come back with something. And I've been like that all my life. But mostly it's a joke I come back with. But I'm very quick this way. So I have to be very careful that I don't give answers off of the top of my head. And that's exactly when we're so quick to answer is what we're doing. We're not thinking it through. The first thing that comes to our mind is what we say. Then also try to have empathy with the person and how they feel. You know, most people really don't want so many answers. They just want somebody to listen. They want somebody to sort of share it with them and to get into what they're, oh, yes, I know. I've been there, done that. So many times this is, we need to learn how to feel with them. Sometimes, I'll tell you the truth, as a counselor, some of the things they say is so childish. Some of the young girls, they'll come and they'll cry and they'll say, you know, I'm married and I have my beauty shop. I remember one girl told me a long time ago, I have my beauty shop and I want a career, but my husband says I'm not a housekeeper. I don't clean and I don't cook for him and so forth. And so she's there trying very hard to excuse herself from having to do her wifely duties. And in a sense, I could look at her and sort of smile and say, oh, child. You know, they're so immature, but you can't allow that to happen. You have to let them realize because they have to grow. They have to learn these things. So therefore, you try your very best to feel empathy with them and to really try to help them. So let's keep that in mind. There are some things that we do. Like the empathy. We need to empathize with people. We need to reflect. Now, this is one of the best ways to keep from trouble in your home. It may be an extra step, but it really helps. Now, reflecting is, I say to my son, after school, I want you to meet me on Park Street. And do bring your homework back with you. And I know my son, you know, they sort of hazily listening to you. But I say, now, what did I say? He said, oh, you want me to meet you at Park Street, and you want me to bring my homework. You see, what you're doing is reinforcing so that you know what you've said. Because they know what you've said. Because many times with arguments between husbands and wives, there's a lot of misunderstanding. And wives will accuse men and they'll say, well, I never said that. You did say it. No, I never said anything like that. Well, the fact is we can't prove either one of them, whether you said it or didn't say it. But when you learn how to reflect on each other, and say, when you're telling your husband something, now don't forget to get the milk. Now you say, he's not a child, but it's a good thing to say, what did I say? Don't forget the milk. Anyway, it's something that you can, that if you really will try it, particularly with your children, it really puts a handle on them thinking then. Okay? And one of the other things is, do maintain eye contact. You see, that's not important. I know a doctor in Taiwan, Sam. You don't know him, but he's a lovely man, wonderful man. He came here and he studied in the United States. Then he was going to practice in the United States, but he couldn't make it because he wasn't smart. No, he's very smart. But Sam could not look you in the eye. He just could not. He had such a shyness. And we worked with that and talked about that. Actually, we found out his sisters always talked for him. His sister, you know, so he became very withdrawn in the sense of being able to communicate. So how would you like to have a doctor who says to you, there's nothing wrong. You're fine. Your tests were fine. And there's just nothing wrong with, well, what would you think? He's hiding something from me. I know he's not telling me the truth. And so Sam couldn't work here in the United States. But I believe now he's getting over it, thank God. But you see, it's very important to have eye contact. When you don't look people in the eye, they feel like you're not there. That's the way you understand each other. And I've had some trouble that way. I have some trouble sometimes looking off when I'm talking. And I've had to learn how to come in and look people in the eye. But it is very important. Now, with our judgment, the next one we see is listening without judging. Now, this is not always easy. We have to learn how not to criticize. It's easy to criticize because it builds us up. It's easy sometimes, depending on our disposition, it's easy sometimes to put people down. Because we ourselves, our self-esteem isn't very high. But in our listening and talking with people, don't criticize. Don't show contempt or disgust. You know, this is what happens. We have a way of projecting our feelings. We may, like I said the other time, we may not by our voice say it, but our body language speaks very loud. So as we're listening to people, don't show in your body language that you're contempt or disgusted at what they're saying. Because you lose them, and you yourself become engrossed in your feelings. Don't communicate your opinions. Oh, boy, that knocks us good. Don't communicate your opinions. Well, people come to you and talk to you, and, well, in my opinion, you should throw him out. Well, the way he treats you, I think you should get the police after him. We're giving our opinions, but our opinions may not be helpful. So be careful about giving out our opinions. And don't react in a way that puts the other person on a defensive mode. I've said this before, but there was one time in my life that I really, really can never forget, and it hurts me anytime I think of it. About the young man in Taiwan in my church, and he was married to a girl that most of the people didn't think he should have married, and she'd give him a hard time. And he came to church that morning, and after church he came to me and said, "Sister Swartz, she's left me." And I began, you know, I began to tell him, "Well, you know we told you not to marry her." When I said that, it was like I threw ice water on him. And that's the last time he ever came back to me. And I have found it. I have felt it down through the years. I thought, how foolish. I wished I had known what I know now. Because when we say things that puts people on the defensive, we hurt them. You know, we have a way of saying, after all, this is me. I'm plain. I just say what I think. You better realize that in life, you don't always say what you think. Because when you do, you're going to hurt people that you'll never be able to reach again. We say things in love. This is what the Word of God says. We tell the truth in love. So this is one of the areas we need to listen to. Okay? Do allow the other person to grumble and complain. You say, listen to them? Yeah, just listen to them. They need to get it out. It's the only way you're going to be able to help them with the problems they have. I remember also in Cayman, I had a member of my church, a godly woman. I think of her now. She was a wonderful woman. Her son married a wife. And I used to visit that wife's mother. Well, the girl and the man, they separated. And so I would go up to see Ivy, or to her mother, and she'd be there. And boy, she would be lambasting and coming down on Sister Teresa and all of that. And, you know, she grumbled and complained. And I used to think to myself, should I listen to this? But something said to me, she's one of your members too. Well, not a joint member, but she's one of your people too. You need to listen to her. I never agreed with her. I never said anything about them, but I listened. And I want you to understand that we are not here to judge people. We're not here to, what shall I say? We're here to be a blessing for God. So we must be careful. So let them grumble. Allow them express their negative feelings. You know, sometimes we haven't done this to our little children. And because of that, we are not able to teach them. You know, when our child grumbles and complains, Chuck, I want to hear that. You're just a child. You're not mama, daddy. What we need to do is find out why they're grumbling and complaining. So you say, but it's such a, they're grumbling because they didn't get something. Then that's the place we teach them. You cannot always get what you want. And you begin to let them understand. And they begin to hear these things, not just shut up, not just keep quiet. I don't want to hear from you. We begin to teach them. And you see, when these people, some people are very negative. Let them be negative. And then maybe we can show them, you know, in some things, maybe you ought to think more positive. So let them do some of these things while we're listening to them. Release your own opinion on what is right. It's not always right. Unless it's scriptural, it may just be something that was what your family believed, what your culture believed, something I think this is what I believe, you know? Realize that not always what we think is really truth. So let's not push our ideas, but let's just release our own thinking about some things. Recognize that you also can be negative and discontent. You know, we ourselves may enter into this very thing. We may be a person that doesn't talk to people. Well, that's one thing. But most of us do talk to people. And there's times that we're negative. And there's times that we're discontent. And so we need to be able to shift then to those who are talking to us that may have this kind of negativism and discontent. And we're not going to show them our superiority by saying, oh, you shouldn't have that kind of thing. That shouldn't be a part of your thinking. We have to be able to show them what is right and how God can help them. Okay, well, let's go on. Looks like I better take the paper because my iPad turns off when I talk so long. Let's go on to another one. Don't listen because you want to give advice. I'll straighten them out. I'll show them. I'll show them what is right. Like I said, don't give them premature answers. Answers that just, like I said, come off the top of your head. Don't repeat platitudes and cliches. Let me say what this is. And I think as people of God, we really have to be careful here. It's so easy to go to someone and say, well, you know, their older grandfather died or grandmother or aunt or whatever. And we can say, well, they lived a good life, long life. That doesn't take any of the hurt away. That doesn't take any of the feelings of loss away. So sometimes we're very, what shall I say? And then sometimes we'll say, well, Jesus can do it, and leave them with that. Read your Bible. You'll find the answer, and leave them without that, without trying to help them to do these things. So let's not just find little statements that can cover over, but let's get down to help people with some real truth. Don't quote scripture all the time. Don't quote it unless you're talking to them about maybe spiritual things. You know, when I went to Taiwan for the earthquake, and I had a classes on crisis and trauma, and we talked about this, and they talked about it in my study. They're not ready for scripture. They're not ready for you to say, well, after all, it's the Lord's will. The mountain comes down. Their school, all their children just about killed. And I'm going there and say, well, this must have been God's will. For all things work together for good to them. When they are hurting, when they are truly stunned, we have to learn that there are some times that scriptures will not help. And they'll hurt sometimes. So we have to be careful that we don't always try to cover over with that. You know one of the best ways to do? Take serious what they say and then help them to try to discover the answer. That's why I am so strong with lay counseling. Because many of the cares of our people in the church, when it comes to emotional or whatever, family problems, children, so forth, many times all they need to do is to talk it out to you. And then they'll say, oh, I see. I see this is where I need, you know, they've clearly got it out, and now they can actually hear it because they've said it themselves. And often it opens up the problem and they see it themselves. And that's why I like lay counseling. Because most people are not ready for a psychiatrist. Most of them are not ready for special help. They just need to get it off. And so we are there to help them to be able to find their own problem. Like I said before, realize people aren't really there for advice. They just wanted to get it out. They want you to have you there as a feeling between you understand, you care. That all means so much to them. Listen without becoming defensive. Don't expect people to have your point of view. Everyone doesn't have our point of view. So when they're talking, you think to yourself, wow, that's not what I think. They're really thinking wrong. And so we have to expect that they're going to have a different point of view about things than we do. Don't argue when you disagree with them. What's being said, they didn't come to argue. They came to open their heart. They're talking to you about it. And so when you begin to start arguing with them, it hurts. We don't return insult for insult. We don't avoid the negative feedback of others. Because sometimes they'll say, well, she said this and she took it out or something. Listen to the feedback. It may help you. Still show your attention or acceptance when people have their own viewpoint. I'm not accepting the viewpoint. I'm accepting the person. I'm not trying to change their viewpoint just yet, but I'm just accepting the person. Look for the kernel of truth when confronted by another person. Here we are, we have a problem. And they're dialoguing with us, and I'm listening to them. And they're telling me that it was my fault. This happened because of so-and-so. And right away, I might get defensive. I don't want to hear it, you know? But what we need to do is listen to see, is there a bit of truth in what they're saying? This is the way many times God may use to open our hearts to truth. So don't become defensive when people confront you. You listen to them and listen to see if there's something there that really might help me. Okay? Focus on points of agreement instead of differences. When they're talking and there's some things you can say, yes, I understand, I agree with that. Let the disagreements go for a time until the proper time comes. Okay, then listen with humility. Don't see humility as weakness. It takes a strong person for the Lord to bring down and humble. Don't seek for recognition and praise. This is what happens so often. We were talking in the HIM, the director's meeting, and they're reorganizing our humanity type of thing where we, you know, when there's crisis, we go in to help in different areas. And we have, but we're organizing it better. And I said to the men, I said, remember this. We're not going in this to make a name for ourselves. We're going into this because we want to help others. Because so many times humanitarian work, people sometimes go into it and become very large and even famous. And it may be the temptation there to think, look what I am and how I've done. But God doesn't want that of us. We just sort of we're not looking for praise. Desire God to approve, knowing that you are his beloved child. So as we as we talk and as we listen, let's know that I'm God's child and I want him to approve of what I'm doing. Seek to serve others. Value the advice from others. Be quick to look over a fence. It's very easy to get hurt at times. But whenever you get hurt and it begins to make that bruise in your heart and it continues, you become a prisoner. You do. You become a prisoner, not the other person. That becomes your thinking. You have an attitude from it. You're not the kind, it just does something to you, and you're in the prison of what that has done to you by being hurt. We're going to get hurt, but there's some things it's good to just push aside. Just, Lord, you take care of that. And listen with love. Now, there are seven things that successful listeners don't do. And we're going to quickly go through them. Don't feel you have to do the talking. Some people will come to you and they're wanting to convey to you what they're thinking. And before long, you're doing all the talking. And they're pretty silent. That's one of the things that doesn't help listening. And as we said before, don't give premature advice. Advice off the top of your head. It doesn't hurt anything to say to them, you know what, let me think about this a little bit. Or let's think this through together. As we said already, don't become defensive. Don't become hothead. Don't become a hothead. And then don't laugh at others. I think there's ways of getting hurt, but I think being laughed at really hurts people. Oh, you're silly. That's such a little thing. What in the world, you know? We can laugh at them. Suddenly, you bring them down. You're calling them, you know, you're making them feel like they're foolish. We don't want to do that as we're listening. We have to sort of look over these things with our children. Don't hold on to hatred we just spoke about. And don't break a confidence. Now, this is not easy. Be careful that what you say cannot be, that what you've heard, you don't take around all over the place. Because once you do, you probably won't hear much more when people find it out. But as I said, these are some of the things that we want to teach our children. You know, we're going to say something to our child. We want them to do something, and they begin to talk. Oh, mommy, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, they try to sort of talk us off of it. We teach them, you don't do that, honey. And if you keep doing it, you'll get punished. You see, this is the thing that we have to realize, that God can help us to be able to teach our children some of the things that will help them in life, and we ourselves need to learn it. We need to be good listeners because we live in a world that doesn't listen. We live in a world that's going so fast and going around so much that we don't have the time to listen to others. Many of us now, we love the emails or the emails or the messages. Now all we have to do is message a person with just exactly what we say. Because if we call, they're going to talk and talk and talk and talk. And I don't have time for that. And we've gotten to the place where we don't have time for people. But let us learn how to listen well. Do you have any questions or comments? I'd be glad to. How do you all feel about it? No questions? Yes, Sarah. Well, I think the fact is, as you're listening, and you can say a question that will keep them continuing. Huh? Well, it would depend on what you have to say. So, okay, well, I think you all can go. Thank you so much for listening. Oops.